Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. I want to welcome you in the studio on tonight. Thank you for joining me. Again, we're at another Thursday, which means another week has passed us by. I was just speaking today, and wow, 2023 is coming through so quickly. We are almost in the summer, and before we know it, we're going to look up and we'll be back into the holidays again, and we'll be entering into 2024. But glory to God that we are still here to give our testimony and to give him the honor and the praise for all that he has done for us. So tonight's going to be a little interesting. It's going to be interesting. I would love for this to be an open dialogue. I have invited some folks, and we'll see. It was kind of last minute that to see if they would call in and participate. There's some of you that may be listening in through the Internet. I'm going to encourage you, if you're listening in through the Internet, to call into the studio live so that you could be a part of this discussion. The discussion, I was having a conversation with one of my sisters in Christ, and she's a doc. She has her doctorate in theology, and she does a Bible study on Tuesday morning. And I listened in on her Bible study, and it's a true Bible study. I mean, it's getting deep into the Bible. She was coming from Exodus, I believe, 25, and also from St. John. And but what I enjoyed about it is because when I go into the Bible, I go into the Bible and I dive deep, but it's not the Bible. generally when I'm going into the Word and I read the Word of God, but it's always a message that I generally, my style is bringing back a message based my the Word of God, but based on my life and what's going on in my life and how God is dealing with me, how He is, correcting me or how He is covering me during this journey called life. And so it's good, sitting during her Bible study, what I liked about it is because it is good to know the Word, but not just knowing the Word. And that's what this show is about tonight. Now, I'm not a theologian, so I'm not going to pretend to be one. That's why I wanted to open up the platform and have some people call in and that's willing to participate in this. I wanted to present questions, and I just want to get dialogue back. All of us may not have the same answer. Some of us may know more than others, but I want to just have it as an open dialogue and so that we could just answer some of these questions. One of the questions that I was presented in the title for the show was, callous to the culture, callous to the culture. And what did that mean to me? That meant to me, are we being callous? Are we being naive or ignorant to the Jewish culture? And some people may not feel like that's important. They may feel like, oh, well, why is that not important? Or why is that important? And that's the question on tonight. Why is it important to us, the Jewish culture? Is it important for us to know what the culture was? Is it important for us to follow the holy days? Because a lot of our belief system comes from the Holy Bible, right? And then the Old Testament, the Torah, that's where a lot of, prepared us. It prepared us. It was very relevant in preparing us for the coming of the Messiah. Now, where the Christianity difference from Jewish belief is that for us, we know that only way to the Father is through the Son. And we believe that God came down in the form of flesh, who we know to be Yeshua, which is Hebrew for Jesus, to come and atone our sin, that one last atonement for our sin. And so, but there's so many things. And then when you think about it, our Savior, Jesus himself, he was born Jewish, right? So I got to thinking after I was listening to her show and me and her had a brief conversation, it made me think. I have a lot of conversations throughout the week, and I have conversations with different people, and it provokes thought for me. It provokes thought, and it makes me start thinking. And as I start thinking, then I start researching, and I start studying because I want to know, Lord, is it important? Because what I was sharing with her is that, yes, I am spirit-filled, and I would like to think that I know the Word of God, and what I don't know, I know how to get to. Amen. But I thought about it. I'm very ignorant to some of the culture, to a lot of the culture. And I know, and it's funny that this keeps coming back up because I had this conversation this week. But months ago, I had a conversation where one of my relatives, who is also my first cousin, but also like a sister to me, and also my sister in Christ, she brought me a Bible, and the Bible is all the pronouns and all the pronouns are in their original Aramaic language in Hebrew. So for example, Jesus in Hebrew is Yeshua. So it's in the original Hebrew language, and I know some people get bored with this, get bored with Hebrew, diving deeper, with the different meanings. And I think it's important, and let me tell you why I think it's important, because that would just be like walking into a household. Let's just say your primary language is English, and you walk into a household and their primary language is Spanish. There's going to be a language barrier, especially if they don't know English and you don't know Spanish, and yo hablo español un poquito, muy un poquito. So if you don't understand the language, then there's going to be a lot of misunderstanding. There's going to be a language barrier. There's going to be hard for you to understand what they're asking. I mean, just the basic stuff. Let's not even get into their culture, but just the basic stuff of what's being asked, what's being communicated, you know, is going to be a barrier. And I think it's the same way that we need to understand, because a lot was translated and you lose a lot in translation. Thank God for His Holy Spirit. And I believe that what's been saving many of us is because when we have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior and we've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, that it's the Holy Spirit that's given us the revelation. It's the Holy Spirit that's leading and guiding and directing us. You know, it's the Spirit of the Word of God. You know, it says the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life, and it's the Spirit of the Word of God that's given us the revelation we need, because many of us don't understand. We don't know Hebrew. A lot of us don't know Hebrew. We don't know what it means. It's foreign to us. We do know that it was one of the original languages, but how much are we, you know, and we also know through translation that things are being lost. That's just the truth. That's the truth. It's not an excuse for people not to follow the Word of God. Not an excuse for people not to be obedient and disciplined to the things of God. It's not an excuse. A lot of people use it as an excuse. Well, it's been translated. It's no good no more. No. That's like throwing out the baby with the bathwater. The bathwater gets dirty, so you're going to throw out the whole baby? No. So you want to continue to read the Word of God. And I'm not saying some of you would never probably be inspired or encouraged to learn, you know, the original language or learn the culture. But this is just, tonight is for a provoking thought. I just want to provoke thought and go back to the question that was originally noted, which was, are we callous to the culture? So if you're in the studio on tonight and you want to answer these questions, because I'm not going to have all the answers. I've done some research. I'm going to share some of the things I found. But if you want to be a part of this trivia, please dial in if you're listening in through the internet. Dial in. Our dial-in number is 646-721-9678. Again, if you want to listen in live in the studio and you want to participate and ask questions or give answers, please call in to area code 646-721-9678. And that way, if you have a question or you want to make a comment, you just dial one on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or comment, and we'll bring you in. I am going to Minister Q and Evangelist Leah, I'm going to open up your mic. You can mute yourself if you want to, and then just open up your mic, unmute your mic when you want to speak. If you mute yourself, we won't hear any of your background noise. I do know that you guys are traveling and have something, some things that you have to do tonight. But I thank you for dialing in to participate in this. So I'm going to open up your mic now if you want to mute yourself. Okay, you are open to. Okay. I got you guys in here saved. Anybody else that want to participate in this, please feel free to dial one. So let's start off. First of all, the question is the Jewish culture, is that important to us as Christians? My answer to that would be yes, and I'm going to give my answer, say why, and then I'm going to open it if somebody else has a different answer or they want to add to the answer I'm giving. I believe that it is very important. Now, I'm going to just say in layman terms, I want us to be able to understand. You know, Coach D, I'm going to break it down. The reason why I think it's important is because this is our Savior. Our Savior, God elected to choose the Jewish people, and we'll find out more about that. But he chose those people as his people. And so he chose them, and that lineage is what brought, you know, he wanted the Savior to come under that lineage, right? So I believe that is very important. I kind of thought about today, you know, when different cultures adopt children from another culture, that's a culture shock. But if you adopt somebody from a different culture, don't you think that it would be wise if you at least teach them your culture? You know, could you imagine coming into, and they do this now because I think they have these things where they call, where students come from different countries and they'll have somebody that hosts them that's American. Mm-hmm. And they'll host them, and their goal in hosting them is not only to make it easy financially for them by them hosting them, but is to help them navigate through the American culture because they're coming from a totally different culture. Can you imagine going to the Middle East, for example, and not understanding their culture, and you get to the Middle East and all of a sudden you pull out a pork skin? It's not funny, but could you imagine that? Because you got certain people don't realize you got certain countries that, you know, like Muslim countries, a lot of them you can't have pork out of the question, and people, you know, could be in prison and be killed for breaking the laws and the statutes, and yet people will travel to other countries and don't understand the culture. There's a show that comes on TV. I mean, you can't help but not know about it because it's on every single night, and it's called 90 Day Fiancé, where these people are meeting people in other countries and falling in love, and they pack up their things. And, you guys might want to go on mute. They pack up their things, and they move to these other countries. And then they get mad once they get to the country, and the person that they fell in love with in the other country wants them to respect their culture. They want them to respect the laws. And the Americans don't want to do that. But it's like, okay, how can you go to somebody else's country and not want to respect the culture, right? So that's why I would say that the Jewish culture is important for us as Christians to at least understand it. And I think if we begin to understand the culture, then I think it's going to help us in our study of the word, because all this is coming from, you know, from Jewish culture. And if we're able to understand the culture, then we'll know why, as we're reading the scriptures, it'll make sense to us. We'll know why certain things were said or certain things were done a certain way. I think we'll have a better understanding, even if something was lost in translation. If you understand the culture, then you'll understand what was lost in the translation. So one of the questions, so I want to summarize that. Five bullet points I want to bring up of why I think it's also important for us to have some kind of knowledge of the Jewish culture. One of the things is, the Jewish history covers much of world history. The Jewish history covers most of the world history. That's one reason. Two, to better understand Jewish people. They are the promised people. Now, we have been adopted in, but they are the promised people. So why would we not understand the people that our belief system is telling us is very important to God? And if they're important to God, then they should be important to us. Amen? So we want to better understand them. Three, to be aware of anti-Semitism. What is that? Basically, a lot of people, especially Christians, have this thing against Jews because what we see, you know, based on the Word of God and studying, especially in the New Testament, which the Jewish people don't even acknowledge, really. But we're, you know, if we're not careful, we'll build this kind of, like I said, anti-Semitism about, because they killed Jesus. They killed our Savior. But keep in mind that this was already predestined from the foundation of the world that this was going to take place. This had to happen. This had to come to pass. If it wouldn't have came to pass, then you and I and others who were, you know, who are not Jewish, we wouldn't have had a chance. Amen. And so it had to come to pass. And so we want to understand that and not harbor that ill feeling and think of it as that, but think of it as part of the purpose and the plan. Amen. Number four, Israel still plays a unique role in God's plan. So we know that Israel still plays a unique part. There are things that's going on. There's biblical prophecy that's manifesting right now that's happening back there in Israel. there's things that's happening, the Euphrates River, different things that's manifested. There were some treaties, some things that manifested during the last office that happened that was very significant. But see, a lot of Christians, all they want to see is the personality of the person that was sitting in the seat. They didn't understand that person was elected for a time such as that. His personality was probably very important for what happened that God needed to happen. He had that personality. He had a no fear, I'm going to do it my way personality, and that's what was needed at that time. So we always got to understand that God is in control. God is in control, and he has a purpose and a reason for everything. Number five, and the last one I want to bring up, is we need to understand the Jewish culture to discover evidence, the evidence for God. Amen? So those are the five key points that I just want to say why I think that is important. Now we're going to get into some of the questions, and then this is where it's going to get good because I don't have all the answers. So the first question I want to present, and again, if you're listening in the studio and you want to answer the question, dial one on your keypad, that'll let our team know. We'll bring you in. So one of the first questions I want to ask is, why did God choose Israel to be his chosen people? Why? Oh, let me see. I see you. Let me open up. I'm going to open up your mic, too. Okay. So the question again is, why did God choose Israel to be his chosen people? Does anybody want to give their thoughts on why they believe that that's his plan? Okay, so speaking of the nation of Israel, Deuteronomy 7, chapter 7, verses 7 through 9 tells us, the Lord did not set his affections on you and chose you because, I got to do, okay. Okay, so I'm sorry about that. The Lord did not set his affections on you and chose you because you were more numerous than other people. For you were the fewest of all people, but it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your forefathers that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his command. God chose the nation of Israel. Oh, okay. Hold on. I sure didn't. Okay, Quentin, let me be quiet. Go ahead, and I'll step back in. Can you? I'm not sure why I didn't hear you. Okay, your mic is open. Let me just see something. We're having a little difficulty.
Hey, DC, can you hear me?
Oh, yes, I can hear you now, yes.
All right. No, I was just going to answer your question by saying, you know, I don't really know why he chose Israel. Maybe because they were small in number and that he wanted to prove that it was really by his might and not by the might of the people. But I couldn't think of another reason why he would choose, you know, Israel to come through. So I was just answering that part of the question.
Oh, okay. Well, another thought process is that God chose the nation of Israel to be the people through whom Jesus Christ would be born, the Savior from sin and death. John, of course, you know, John 3:16. God first promised the Messiah after Adam and Eve fell into sin in Genesis, we know, chapter 3. God later confirmed that the Messiah would come from the line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that's also in Genesis 12, chapters 1 and 3. Jesus Christ is the ultimate reason why God chose Israel to be his special people. That's deep. Jesus Christ is the ultimate reason why God chose Israel to be his special people. God did not need to have a chosen people, but he decided to do it that way. Jesus had to come from some nation of people, and God chose Israel. It's just that simple. He chose Israel. However, God's reason for choosing the nation of Israel was not solely for the purpose of producing the Messiah. God's desire for Israel was that they would go and teach others about him. Israel was to be a nation of priests, prophets, and missionaries to the world. God's intent was for Israel to be a distinct people, a nation who pointed others towards God and his promise provision of a Redeemer, Messiah, and Savior. For the most part, Israel failed in that task. However, God's ultimate purpose for Israel, that of bringing the Messiah into the world, was fulfilled perfectly in the person of Jesus Christ. So that was his purpose and plan. So that manifested with Jesus, you know, being born to a to Mary, who was, her lineage was Jewish. And so so that was fulfilled, but they failed in moving forward. They didn't recognize the Messiah. They didn't, you know, they didn't, they came up this far, and then all that the Old Testament was talking about to get to this point, it was preparing us for the arrival, and they slept on the arrival. They slept on the arrival. So they missed the whole purpose of why they were chosen. But we also know that God is going to reconcile that as well. He speaks it in his word that they will all come into the knowledge and knowing. Which brings me to this next question, because we do know that they're his promised people, and his word says that they will come into the knowledge. So my next question would be, are Jews saved because they are God's chosen people? The question is, are Jews saved because they are God's chosen people? Because they're chosen, are they automatically saved?
I'd say no. And the reason I say no is because there's a couple of things that we have to do to be saved as Jews. We first have to keep the commandment that he's called us to keep. And secondly, we have to believe in the Messiah. So those are the two main pieces. So just being Jew won't get us in the gate. He talks about being grafted in, being of the olive tree, the original, and then others being grafted in, and those are the Gentiles, right? They may get in before us. So just being of the tribe of Judah, or isn't good enough.
Oh, and that's correct, because it does say in the word that the Jews are God's chosen people according to Deuteronomy 7:6. But that does not automatically make all Jews saved. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me," and that's John 14:16, that no one includes Jews and Gentiles. For Jews to be saved, he or she must come to God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah.
Can I interrupt something?
Sure, yes.
You mentioned John, and I got to thinking, because if that was the case, that all Jews were going to be saved just because of who we are, then why would John have baptized? Why would he have been baptizing those Jews? You know, if there was they needed to accept the Messiah as their Lord and Savior in order to be saved. You know, just like the Gentiles. It wasn't an automatic, like Quentin is, like he was trying to say. It's not an automatic.
And you know what, Les, you're right. You just touched bases on what I was going to touch bases, because you're right. John the Baptist warned his Jewish audience. His whole audience was Jewish. against trusting that their lineage made them right with God, produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father, for I tell you that one of these stones, God could raise up children for Abraham. And that's in Luke 3:3-8. No matter who we are, we must repent. Luke 13:5, physical ancestors do not guarantee a spiritual conversion. Even Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, had to be born again. Ooh, now that's a good one. Born again, or he would never see the kingdom of God. John 3:1-8. And we remember the story of Nicodemus when he asked God, how can a man be born again? Does he enter a second time into his mother's womb? And, and Jesus had to share that with him. So even him, and he was a great Jewish leader, knew all the protocol, you know, knew the laws and the precepts and the concepts and the lineage and everything. You know, he knew it, but yet and still, he still had to be born again. So you're right that doesn't make us automatic. You know, John the Baptist came and kind of, he led the way for the Jewish people to begin to receive the Messiah, to receive Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul emphasized the need for faith in many of his epistles. Abraham is a prime example of a man who was justified by faith. When nothing, you know, when we really look at it, Abraham, when we look at David, when we look at, you know, most those were men of great faith, you know, and because of their faith, apart from the law, because they wasn't keeping good with the law when we think about all of David's stuff. You know what I'm saying? But their faith, apart from the law, which when Abraham lived, was not even given yet. So Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So, wow, when you think about that, you know, we read this, but do we really think about it? Because we don't. You know, we done got so into our Western view of things that we don't think about the culture, and we don't even understand the importance of understanding the culture. Then when you're reading the Bible, it comes to life because you understand. I mean, you know, like you said, Abraham, the law wasn't even, there was no law yet. And yet he was counted, you know, as righteous. It says, understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Galatians 3:6-7, Genesis 15:6. This idea echoes Jesus' proclamation over the believing that Zacchaeus, today's salvation has come to this house because this man too is the son of Abraham. Luke 19:9. Zacchaeus' repentance and faith in Christ made him a true son of Abraham, who is the father of all who have faith. So we know that to be saved, we have to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. We have to, you know, confess. But that's even faith. You know, to do that, you have to have a measure of faith. To believe that he is the son of God. And I'm going to shut up and step back. I heard somebody can say something. Were you getting ready to elaborate?
Can I say, yeah, I just want to say the Bible clearly says that my people perish for lack of knowledge. And I'm so glad to hear that you're reading your Bible. Yay! So, So with that being said, and all of the studies that, you know, I've been doing, and, you know, Quentin is like a way better teacher at this than I am, but what I've come to realize is, since we're talking about a people as a Jew, in which we are, and I'm not trying to get on some radical black Israelite thing, but we are the chosen, us. And I think my point is, because we don't know this, that is, the like I said, the word clearly states, my people perish for lack of knowledge, because we don't even know who we are. As a Jew, as the chosen people, and I really got that, and that really came to me, Nisi, when I started reading that Bible, you know, the Hallelujah Scriptures, and digging deeper, and, you know, doing some great studies with Quentin, and like I said, he's like a way better teacher on that. You know, my spirit just picks it up and I receive it, but he's a better teacher. But, Quentin, if you can kind of elaborate on what I just said to kind of tie things in, that would be great.
Sure, sure. And you stated that well. And I'll just kind of do a brief overview, if you don't mind, Sister Nisi, and where Leah is coming from. But she's right. When we think of Jewish culture today, we think of those people that occupy that land of Palestine, right? We see those white people with those funny hats on and black suits and the beards. And that's who the world looks at as Jewish culture, right? And but those people actually converted to Judaism, I think, in that maybe the 8th or 9th century or something like that. Those are Khazars. Those people are of European descent. Right, they come from the line of Japheth. You know, Ham had three. I'm sorry, Noah had three sons, and we know that Jesus comes out of the line of Shem, but they come out of the line of Japheth, and so, and they've admitted, you know, in interviews that they've converted. So what basically happened is they just kind of hijacked the faith. Right, and they stepped into that identity, and became a world power. Right at the time, there was a Roman Catholic Church that was in power. There was Mohammedism or Islam that was in power, and then the third world power became those Khazars of Jewish, J-E-W-I-S-H, ish meaning to be of or to be like or to be similar to. Right, blackish. Right, lightish. Short-ish, right, Jewish, was similar to. And so anyway, it was that group of people that kind of stepped into that, and they became that. Meanwhile, the real chosen were being persecuted around the world, right? These people didn't go away, right? They fled into different places around the world, and they were forced baptisms and forced conversions, and some of us have heard of the Spanish Inquisition and the different crusades and these kind of things. And basically these were forced conversions where they were forcing people to come under the Catholic Church and so that's what was going on. So the real chosen people were facing persecution all over the world, and this people kind of step into that identity and don't have to face that. So the question that I pose to the audience, the listening audience right now, is to let all your preconceived notions and your stereotypes go. And if you really want to trace the people, the chosen people, don't trip off skin color, but we trace the people by the curses. We go to Deuteronomy 28 and we read through the curses. He said what would happen to his people, right? Even in the gospel, when you remember when they were getting ready to persecute Jesus, and those people said, "Let his blood be on our hands and on our generations and our children's generations." Right? Again, that's a part of that Deuteronomy 28 curse. And if you read through that, you'll see who those people are just based on those curses. So it don't have to be no skin color or none of that on that. All you got to do is trace those curses if you want to trace those people. So that's just a little bit, Nisi. And then also to speak to what you were saying about Jewish culture in general, Sister Nisi, how can we pick up the Bible, turn to the Old Testament, read the gospel, say love Jesus, and let that be it, right? We got to turn back to the Old Testament and find out who this Bible was written by, right? It was written by Hebrews, who it was written to. It was written to Hebrew, mm-hmm. and who it was written about. that covenant is a big piece, right, that he came mm-hmm. to a certain people to come through the world. And if we just kind of discard their culture, right, discard their holy days, discard their – he had some rules for this people. They couldn't just live lawlessly like the rest of the world. The rest of the world were able to because they were pagans, and their gods didn't have any rules, right? They had sex orgies, and they did a whole bunch of stuff that we weren't allowed to do. But his people had rules, and he came. He didn't discard those rules, right? He fulfilled them, right? He kept the law, but he didn't do away with it. And that's why it says that We keep his commands and we welcome the Messiah. I'll stop for a minute and let you go.
Ooh, that's good. That's some good stuff. What I will do, because you said a lot of good stuff, and I'm just going to give those listening in, if you're listening in and you have a question or a comment, or you have something to elaborate or add to what's been said, we're welcoming you to dial one on your dial pad. I know a lot of people probably like me, myself. I mean, I would love to just do a 2-hour study on just what Minister Q was talking about. You know, Coach B don't know it all. And but I would like to just be able to do a study because after speaking with Dr. Crystal, after speaking with her, I mean, you know, because she says she has the hardest time. She does Bible study and she gets into the Word, and she has the hardest time with people accepting because she pushes the culture, you know, understanding the Jewish culture, because it makes it easier for us to understand the Word. It really does. It helps us understand. I was sharing with her that I had learned more recently why the, you know, in the Jewish culture, why the napkin is folded a certain way at the table. And I never knew that, right? And, in the culture, when they fold their napkins at the table a certain way, if they fold it a certain way, that means don't touch my plate, don't touch my food, I'll be back. Versus if they just threw it in their plate, which means I'm done. And there was a cloth, a white cloth at the tomb of Jesus where Jesus was buried. There was a white cloth, and it was neatly folded. And but we never talk about that. You don't hear nobody talk about that and breaking that down. So to us, we're just reading it. Don't mean nothing. It's just cloth. It's just frankincense. It's just, you know, it's just. We read the Word of God like it's just no significance. But it was very significant because that cloth being there represented that he would be back, and he did come back. So I think when we understand the culture and we understand why, you know, he doesn't, you know, why we shouldn't be celebrating pagan days, you know, I'm learning. And as I learn, you know, that old saying that says when you know better, you do better. And then the Word of, that's what the world says. But the Word of God said to him who knoweth sin and do it, to him it is sin. So once you know, and once God puts you in a position, because we know nothing's by coincidence, but once he puts you in a position to receive truth, then it's up to us if we're gonna receive that truth and if we're gonna stand on the truth. It's up to us. But now we know, so there's no excuse for us to say, "Well, I didn't know." We're not gonna be able to say, "I didn't know." Because he's making us aware. He's making us aware. He's bringing things to our knowledge. I mean, he's giving us every tool and resource to be able to study his Word. I mean, if you don't read, some people are not good at reading. Now things are in audio. You can read the Bible through audio where somebody else is reading it for you. So he's made a way to know. And there's not gonna, and nobody in the world, he's hitting every... with technology, with those who's following the great command that's going out into the nations and that's preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. People are hitting every area of the world in places that none of us ever heard of that's bringing the gospel. So people are not, when he comes back, whenever that is, and no man knows the day or the hour, but when he comes back, you would have had everything you needed to know to know whether or not if you're going to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Amen. So with that being said, I think this question I'm going to ask has already been answered to by you. But the last question I was going to have was, should Christians support the nation of Israel? I mean, I think that goes without saying, but I'm going to see if you got something to elaborate on that. Should Christians support the nation of Israel?
Should Christians support the nation of Israel?
Mm-hmm.
That's a yes and no question for me, because, again, if we support that so-called nation of Israel that's in power right now, we will find ourselves being led astray. That nation is getting ready to usher in an antichrist, and I'm just going to speak to the realness there. They're actually in the process of building the third temple. They're preparing us for a one-world religion where Muslims and Buddhists and everybody will worship together. Tolerance, key words you hear a lot of, and that's not what we were called to. And so I would say stay away from that. It's not about a one-world religion. He came to one people, and you have to go through one person to get through him. So if we don't go through the Messiah, then it's all bad. But that's not what they're preparing the world for. Their agenda is totally different. That's another show in itself. But I would definitely say no to that.
Okay. And that's good when you think, you know, when you, based on what you share, then, and I thank you for elaborating on that. And one of the things I want to say as the moderator for Processing the Pain, when you come onto the show and people are speaking, one of the things I want to say, because, you know, everything in this day and age talks about being politically correct. I don't care about being politically correct anymore. I don't care that I didn't say something a certain way or I didn't name your gender a certain way. I really don't. I care about what the Word of God says, and I want to have my desire and my passion is to be obedient to the Word of God. I want to be correct with God and not correct politically, you know. And so so with that being said, you know, there may be some that's listening in on tonight and this is not sitting well with you, you know, or whatever, and I understand that, you know, everybody may not agree. On here we're going to agree to disagree if we disagree, because we don't force anything. I don't want to force anything on anybody. If I have a question or we have a debate, let's take it to the Word. Let's open up the Word of God. Let's read the Word of God. Let's see what God is saying in the Word of God. So I just wanted to put that out there because, you know, like I said, everybody is on different levels of maturity. We got people that listen in that ain't even Christian, you know. So I just wanted to put that out there to be sensitive. But I want you to know that this show is not based on and it's not built on being politically correct. It's built on the Word of God. What does God say? What does God say? And when we bring forth the scripture, you know, it's to interpretation. When we bring forth the scripture and we read it, we're gonna have to trust for the leading of the Holy Spirit. And then the scripture always confirms. So if I go to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 8, and I begin to read that and I don't understand it, guess what? It'll lead me to other books. It will lead me to other chapters that confirm what it's saying. It does. God's word, you know, people talk about, oh, it's contradictory. No, it's not. The Word of God ain't contradictory. People are contradictory. The Word of God is not contradictory. It's God has been consistent through his word. your understanding of the word might become contradiction because it's based on your understanding. But the truth of the word of God is the truth of the word of God, and it don't change. It does not change. One of the things I like as we come in toward the close, you know, we all know that, of course, Jesus, you know, was born into authentic a Jew. A Judaism, let me say Judaism. And so, excuse me for that, I got turned to it. And so we know that he was. So, and we know that he was also a rabbi. And we know that he preached in the synagogues and he taught. But he, his unique style of teaching, because he's none other than God. He didn't teach. He taught the scrolls, but he didn't teach. He didn't present it like the others. He presented with clarity. He presented with understanding. He said things that was even beyond them, you know, and that's why he was so persecuted, you know. And I wonder, too, you said that the conversion took place around when?
8th or 9th century. Late 8th, early 9th century.
Because I wonder, you know, it almost makes you think, So that's interesting. Is there some, so let me ask you this before we go into closing. Is there some scriptures that you would be, that you, and I mean, I know I didn't give you time to prepare, but would there be some scriptures that you could present, you know, just give the audience scriptures that they could go to and begin to read to collaborate?
Not on the conversion. That you won't find that in the scriptures. There are some really good writings on that from Babylon to Timbuktu. Rudolf Windsor is a really good resource. There are a couple of other books that I just can't recall off the top of my head right now. But those you won't find in the scriptures. About the conversion.
Okay. Well, that might be something we, you know. Maybe we might need to do a show just to dig a little bit deeper. Now, again, tonight's show was a little different than most of my shows. Most of my shows is bringing forth a message, and I believe that God will continue to bring forth messages on processing the pain. This just stuck heavy on my heart based on some conversations that I had in the past, and I think that it's important that we know the Jewish culture. And I'm not talking about the inhabitants, maybe, of Israel right now, but there's still the culture. And even though, you know, some of that may have been kind of changed, or, you know, we already knew that Christianity is, you know, has Catholicism and all these lisms and isms, but we know that a lot of what we believe and stuff was influenced, heavily influenced by the Catholics. And that's why we're doing a lot of stuff that we're doing that wasn't what we're supposed to be doing, but we're doing it because of what we've been taught, the traditions and the rituals we've been taught, and we didn't know no better. And, you know, again, going back to the scripture, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. When you don't know who you are, you know, then you're going to become what you know. When you don't know who you are, you're going to become what you know. That's a good one. And we have become what we know. And now we're going to be spending this time. And some people might say, I don't know, I just love Jesus. And I love Jesus. I'm heaven bound. Well, it's more to it than that, because you really need to understand. Because if you don't understand it, you don't know that even if you loving Jesus, you may be doing things that's just defiled. That's foul to him. And we need to be able to understand why we do what we do. You know, why do we celebrate Christmas? Why do we celebrate Easter? Why do we, as believers, celebrate Halloween? Why are we doing this stuff? We've been conditioned. And we need to understand.
Can I add right there, Nisi?
Yeah.
Can I jump in right there just briefly?
Yeah.
Not just why do we do this, why do we do that, but why don't we do this? Why don't we obey commands, right? It ain't just Jesus, right? I believe in Jesus, so I'm good. There's still some things that we have to do, and that's a big piece. I'm going to let that go.
No, I mean, that is. But you know what? A lot of us may not be following the commands because we don't even understand. See, you can't do what you really don't understand. And I think when we begin to understand, you know, I don't know, I always say this. You know, as a kid and your parents say, don't do this, and you ask them why, and they say, because I said so. Don't you know that because I said so was the grounds of creating the spirit of rebellion? You know, think about it as a kid. When your mama says, don't do that, and you say why, and they say, because I said so. It made you want to do it more because you want to know why they, I better do this because there's a reason they don't want me to. Why they don't want me to, I need to find out why. And, I mean, that might be dangerous at times because sometimes we didn't want to take because I said so and we did it anyway and it got us in trouble. But can you think about what if when we ask why, they were able to give us a solid answer? See, this is the kind of things I think about. And those, you know, and some of us too holy to even process. Some of us are just so holy that we don't even think about practical stuff. We don't even think about that kind of stuff. You know, but God didn't just tell us stuff. He didn't just give us laws. There was a reason behind why he told us not, and we're seeing it now. You don't have to believe, but we're seeing the manifestation of sin. We see why he said, don't do X, Y, Z. We see why it was important to be, before you start having kids, to be married and have a family structure. We see that now. Because why? Because probably 73% of the households in America, you know, is single parent. And kids, they can't even, the same thing that's happening to, the thing, what you just shared about the Jewish culture, the same thing that happened to the Jews being displaced is the same thing that's happening in households. We got young men now that because they didn't have the foundation, they didn't have the father in the home, now we're seeing an abundance of young men that are replicating their mothers. In the natural, we say that's unnatural, but is it unnatural? Yes, it's unnatural by the laws of God, but is it unnatural that that's what they govern towards? Because that was the influence in their life, and they begin to pick up the characteristics of that influence. Everything is happening for, I mean, that's a whole other show, so I ain't going to get into that. But everything is happening because it's out of the order of God. We're in a fallen world. We're out of the order of God. And a lot of being out of the order of God is because we don't know who we are. We don't know who we are, and we don't understand. You know, at the very least, we don't understand the culture. We don't understand, the culture of our Savior. So that's why this show was brought about. It was a It was to provoke thought, again, not trying to infringe on anybody other than the fact of thought. This is a thought. If Jesus, Yahshua, the Messiah, it was important that God determined that the flesh of the Spirit of God needed to be born into a Judaism, and I want to start using that versus Jewish now that I understand what Jewish means, that lineage was important because that was the chosen. So because of that, then I want to understand that lineage. I'm not going to be, I'm not a theologian, you know, but I would like to be able to better understand that lineage. Amen. So with that being said, do we have anybody else that have a comment or question about what was shared on tonight? If you do, I want to give you a couple of minutes to do that. Q, did you have anything else, you or Leah, have anything else you want to add to this conversation before we close out?
I would just encourage people to go back into Deuteronomy and check out Deuteronomy, the entire book, but specifically in chapter 28, where he does discuss those curses. And then you just can kind of put it together and who do those curses apply to if you look at today.
Okay. And I'm a big reader of Deuteronomy, so I done read it a couple of times, but I'm going to go back and read it again with different eyes. But thank you for that. I want to thank you, Alea, for participating and being willing to contribute to the conversation on tonight. I want to thank everyone who tuned in tonight to this. This was a different type of process and the pain, but I still feel like it was rich. It was rich in information. If nothing else, it should provoke you to thought. For me, I don't know, everybody's not the same. When I hear things, you know, whether I believe it or don't believe it, I'm going to study. I'm going to go see. You know, what thus saith the Lord? Lead me, Father. Lead me, Holy Spirit, where you want me to go, where you want me to read, because I want to know. I want to know it. I become thirsty. And so I just pray that this will cause you to you know, just find out for yourself. Maybe something that was said here got you questioning, or something that was said here didn't sit well with you, or something that was said here did sit well with you, and you want to know more. So I would encourage you to go to the Word of God and go to God in prayer and just ask Him to lead you and guide you. So, Father God, we thank you for tonight. Lord, we know this was a little different, but we just thank you. I thank you for the dialogue. I thank you for the input. I thank you for the scriptures that you shared with us during this time, Father. Father God, my prayer is that no one leaves here, Father God, just empty. But, Father God, that they will have a thirst and a desire to know you intimately, to know the culture, to know that you are with us, Father God, that you are leading and that you are guiding us, Father. Father God, that we need to know. And so, Father, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you. And, Father God, I just pray that you will show up for those who are diligently seeking you, Father God. I pray that you will show up for those that are delighting themselves in you, Father. For you said if you delight yourself in the Lord, that you would give us the desires of our heart. Father God, when our desires begin to be that we just want to be pleasing to you, Father God, that we don't want to be perishing for the lack of knowledge. But, Father God, we want to be in line and in sync with what it is that you have for us, your people, Father God. So, Lord, we just say thank you. I thank you for the audience that's listening in. Father, I pray that you would bless them this week. Father God, that you would show and reveal yourself to them mightily on this week. And, Lord, that we will be able to hear and see that not only the testimonies, Father God, but the change behavior, the change attitudes, Father God, that we will begin to see the conversion, that the manifestation of the Great Commission is taking place where we are going out into the nations and we are teaching and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to thank each and every one of you tonight for tuning in to this episode of Processing the Pain. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back here again next Thursday, back to our normal broadcast, unless the Lord say differently. I just want to be obedient to whatever direction that he is sending us in this season. So, again, I want to thank you for tuning in. Know that you are truly loved and appreciated. See you next week. Good night.
surrender.